the Shir and Targumim Parshas Mikates. Wanted to concentrate tonight on some translations of the Targum Onkelos towards the end of the Sedra. Brothers come back to Mitzrayim for the second time. This time they bring Binyamin with them. And as the Pesukim describe in Perek Mem Gimel, Yosef HaTzadik sets out a lavish feast for them. And in Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Beis, we find the following. Vayosimu lo levado v'lohem levadom. The feast was set up in such a way that they set a table for Yosef himself and for the brothers at a separate table. V'lamitzrim ha'ochlim ito levadom. And for the Egyptians who were sitting together with them, they had a third table, a third section. It was, separate seating in the fullest sense of the term. There was Yosef, there was the brothers, and there were the Mitzrayim. Why were the Mitzrayim separated from the brothers and from Yosef? So explains the pasuk, "Ki lo yuchlun haMitzrim lechol es ha'ivrim lechem, ki so'evo hi leMitzrayim." Because the Egyptians are not able to have a meal together with the Ivrim, together with the Jews, because it is something abominable for Mitzrayim. So the impression you have off the bat is that, this is what they call today racial profiling, right? In other words, the Egyptians, they're nice people. Some of our best friends are Jewish, but we don't want to eat with them. Kisoevo hilo Mitzrayim, it's something abominable to Egypt that they should sit and have a meal together with the Jews. So that could be. Certainly we're, the Jewish people are on the receiving end of anti-Semitism throughout history, so it shouldn't surprise us that back then in Mitzrayim as well, there was this hatred, this antipathy that the Egyptians can't eat with the Jews. But it does require a little bit further explanation. So is it just an eating thing? So in other words, they go to ball game with the Jews. It sounds like they would interact with the Jews in other ways. But kilo yuchlin ha mitzrim lechol es ha'ivrim lechem. They somehow can't eat with the Jews. That's something that they can't stomach. What is it about eating specifically that leads the Egyptians to feel an abhorrence to be together with the Jewish people? Number two, where does this leave Yosef exactly? The Mitzrim don't sit with his brothers, but they don't sit with Yosef either. Now, it's probably well known that Yosef comes from the land of the Ivrim. I mean, he says as much to the Sar HaMashkim at the end of last week's Pashuk. Gunav gonavti me'eretz ha'Ivrim. I was stolen from the land of the Jews. I was stolen from Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, at least some people know, it's not a total secret, maybe everybody knows, that Yosef comes from Eretz Yisrael. So in that case, the Mitzrayim, it seems like, don't want to eat with him either. They won't eat with the brothers, because they're obviously from Eretz Yisrael. They won't eat with Yosef either. Striking. They have no problem making him the second in command of the entire country, but they won't sit down to eat with him. Now, of course, the answer might be, yeah, that's how anti-Semitism works. We love you, we love you, we love you, until we don't love you. Right? If you're going to help us out, we love you, but we're still not going to eat with you. If that was a halacha which had been enacted by that time already, it was just a rabbinic halacha. Very possible that it was enacted later on. That it wasn't in force at this point. But besides that fact, it doesn't seem like it's the Jews who don't want to eat with the Egyptians. It's the Egyptians who don't want to eat with the Jews. That's what it was. Yeah, but that's not what it says. In other words, he's to'eva hilo Mitzrayim. It's disgusting to the Egyptians to have to share a meal with the Jews. It's not that they're being culturally sensitive. I don't want to mess up your wine or anything like that. There's something that they find abhorrent about eating with the Jewish people. Right. Right. Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Right, so that could be. In other words, it's not that they're avoiding Yosef because he's Jewish, they're avoiding Yosef because he's royalty. right, right. Okay, that could be. That could be. Right. But that still leaves us with the question, you know, what is it about eating specifically that they avoid, you know, being with the Jewish people? So here the Targum Onkelos gives the following translation. And on the surface, this translation doesn't obviously fit the words of the Pasuk itself. It says that they, again, everyone sat separately. Because the Egyptians are not able to eat bread, or eat a meal with the Jews. Because the animal, or the animals, which the Egyptians worship, Ivroi Ochlin, the Jews eat. The Egyptians worship the sheep, and the Jews like having lamb for dinner, right? So that's so Eva Hilo Mitzrayim. It's about specifically it's not, according to the Targum Onkelos, it's not a general antipathy that they have towards the Jewish people, although they certainly may have had that as well. But what's being described here in the Pasuk is that they specifically can't stand eating together, because the Jews will sit down and eat that very item, which is the deity of the Egyptians. So certainly if they're sitting at the same table together, you know, and a Jew is sitting and eating something which is a god for the Egyptians can't stomach being at the same table together, right? You know, would you mind passing the deity? No, can't do that, right? But even, I guess, if they're not having lamb or sheep at that particular meal, you know, there's an association. Every time they sit down with a Jewish person, they think, you know, it happens to be he ordered chicken tonight, but he could have ordered lamb. And if, you know, and how can you think of sitting down to eat with the person who's ready to eat your god? So in other words, that's says the Targum Onkelos, that's what's going on over here. That's why the Egyptians refuse, you know, to sit down with the Jews. It's not anti-Semitism per se, it's this revulsion that they have to the fact that the Jews eat their god, and of course that's going to be a major thing, you know, later on in Sefer Shmos, that the Jewish people shecht and eat the Korban Pesach as they're about to leave Mitzrayim, indicating that they are absolutely committed to rejecting the god of the Egyptians. Question is, how do you get this explanation from the Pasuk? Right? In other words, what are the Pasuk? So, Eva Hilo Mitzrayim, it's an abomination to the Egyptians. What in the Pasuk itself suggests this interpretation of the Targum Onkelos? Well, Targum Onkelos is, generally speaking, a translation. Where are the words in the Pasuk that suggest this translation? So Rashi has a comment over here. Rashi, on the words Ki To'eva, he writes, Dover Sonoi Hu L'Mitzrim L'Cholos O'Ivrim. It is something despicable for the Egyptians to eat together with the Jews. That's how he explains the Pasuk. V'unkulus nosam tam ladover. And writes Rashi, and Unkulus gave an explanation as to why the Egyptians find it so abhorrent to eat with the Jews. The way I understand this Rashi is as follows. We had asked the question, how did Unkulus get this out of the Pasuk? And I think the answer that Rashi at least is giving is that he didn't get out of the Pasuk. The Pasuk simply says that the Egyptians can't stand to eat with the Jews. But why is that? You know, the Pasuk doesn't really provide an explanation. So in this particular case, the Targum Onkelos is not translating, he's explaining. He's adding something which is not in the Pasuk itself. There needs to be some kind of explanation as to why the Egyptians, all of a sudden, out of all things, would find it difficult to sit down and eat a meal with the Jewish people. So what you see from this Rashi, at least, is that the way Rashi understands the Targum Onkelos is that although most of the time Targum Onkelos is translating, and again, every translation is also an interpretation to some extent, but there are times where the Targum Onkelos will simply give an explanation or an interpretation, which he doesn't claim is a translation of the Pasuk, but it's an added, you know, added piece of information to help us read the Pasuk and understand it a little bit better. Were it not for Rashi, I thought that perhaps you could suggest the following. What I'm about to say I think is different than Rashi, but I think it's perhaps another way to understand how the Targum Onkelos understands the Pasuk. Perhaps one could suggest, unlike Rashi, that the Targum Onkelos is not simply giving an explanation of the pasuk, but he's actually translating the pasuk in a certain way. How is that? What does the word to'eva mean? To'eva is an abomination, bad thing, right? We sometimes find that the Tanakh and Chazal can use terms like that to refer to an idolatrous deity. Right? From our from the perspective of the worshippers of the deity, of the idol, you know, it's a holy sacred god. But from our perspective, it's something disgusting. Right? It's something that we look at with abhorrence. So perhaps one could understand the pasuk as follows. The Egyptians will not eat with the Jews. Why? Because that thing, what's that thing? The sheep, parentheses, which the Jews eat, end parentheses, to'eva hi l'mitzrayim, it is a god for the Egyptians. In other words, the word to'eva, the Targum Mukulis is not just explaining. He's translating that in this context, the word to'eva refers not to the reluctance that the Egyptians have to eat with the Jews, but rather it's a reference to the sheep, to the Avodah Zarah. This sheep is an Avodah Zarah, it's a god, it's a to'eva, from the point of view of the Egyptians, and therefore the Egyptians are reluctant to sit down and eat with the Jews. In other words, it's a translation of the pasuk, not an added explanation or interpretation, as one might have thought. Okay, that's on that pasuk. So, we know that they have a whole party, and in the morning they get up to go, and of course, Yosef arranges for his goblet to be placed into the sack of Binyamin. His men catch up with the brothers, and the men accost the brothers and say, "How could you have stolen the goblet?" And in Perek Mem Daled Pasuk Hey, they say to the brothers as follows, "Halo zeh, behold this goblet, asher yishta adoni bo, it is the goblet that my master drinks from. V'hu nachesh yinachesh bo, and he, Yosef, is menachesh with this goblet." What does it mean that he is menachesh with this goblet? So the word nichush typically means divination. In other words, Yosef uses this goblet somehow in a mystical, magical way to divine things. Right? Instead of using a crystal ball, he uses this goblet as a way of seeing the future. And in light of that, this is a very important goblet to my master, say Yosef's men to the brothers. How could you have made off with this very important item? It's not just important because it's a silver goblet. It's important because it's something that Yosef, that the viceroy of Egypt, uses in his pursuit of divination. And if you take a look at the Rashbam over here, before we get to the Targum Onkelos, the Rashbam writes that Yesh Lomar Shahoyo Maru Atzma Le'eneyam Ki Yodea Inyonim Al Yidei Kesa V'Nachash. Yosef pretended to the brothers that he was able to figure things out through sorcery and divination. V'shema B'kos Hoyo Kosen, and he would use this cup, among other things, as an instrument to enable him to engage in this kind of sorcery. Again, this was his crystal ball, so to speak. V'yesh Mefarshim. Right, so that's one interpretation of the Rashbam. V'hu nachesh yinachesh bo, he uses the cup to engage in divination. Now, of course, that opens up a question. Divination is an isser in the Torah. Lo sinachashu. You're not supposed to, you know, use crystal balls to try to divine the future, right? So how can Yosef be described as using the cup to engage in divination? So one answer might be that he's not bound by the rules of the Torah. Okay, that's one answer. But if we assume that Yosef is following the laws of the Torah, again, as there's much indication that the Avos did keep the Torah, at least in many, many circumstances, So then, how could Yosef be described as using the cup for divination? One answer might be that he didn't actually use the cup for divination, right? And all the officials of Yosef are telling the brothers, you know, they're pretending that Yosef uses the cup for divination. In other words, they're trying to build up to the brothers how terrible an offense they've committed. You know, our master uses this cup for divination. Again, they don't realize he's Jewish. They have no reason to think that an Egyptian would be careful not to use, you know, engage in divination in any way. So they're, basically they're not being upfront. You know, they're making up a story in terms of what he does with the cup. In reality, he doesn't use the cup for divination. In fact, that's what the Rashbam seems to be saying. Shahaya mare atzmo le'enayim ki yodea inyonim ayde kesev enachash. Yosef, in front of the brothers, you know, portrayed himself as if he was, you know, aware of different things through divination and sorcery and the like. But it's all, you know, it's all smoke and mirrors. You know, it's not real. He's not really trying to use the cup for divination. That actually would be awesome. It's interesting to note, you know, with this background, if you take a look at the Targum Onkelos, the Targum Onkelos translates the words Vahu Nachesh Yinachesh Bo as Vahu Bidaka Medvadek Be. He uses the cup to check things. He uses the cup to check into things. What does that mean exactly? Right? So it's possible that the Targum Onkelos is deliberately avoiding translating nachesh yinachesh in the sense of divination, of kesef, of sorcery, of magic, because of this kasha which we raised before. How could it be that Yosef HaTzadik would engage in divination? How could he even be described as engaged in divination? He uses the cup in certain ways to check things, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that he checks things from the point of view of divination. Maybe it's a measuring cup. You know, maybe it's a cup that, you know, he uses as a yardstick to measure the value of other items. In other words, it's not necessarily the case that according to Onkelos' translation, we're talking about something he uses for divination. A second explanation of this type of Onkelos, again, somewhat along the same lines, is offered by the author of the Aksava Kabbalah, also understanding that the Targum Onkelos wants to avoid associating Yosef with divination. Balak Sava Kabbalah says as follows: how could you have stolen such a precious cup? The officers of Yosef say to the brothers, don't you know that hu nachesh yinachesh bo? Don't you know that when it comes to this cup, my master badaka mevadek be, that he checks with it? Understands Aksava Kabbalah, it's not so much that he checks with it, but he's going to check for it. It's not like you left Mitzrayim with a thing of paper clips. It's not like, you know, you made off with a box of pencils where no one's ever going to know that, you know, you went into the hotel and you took the little bar of soap. All right, no one's coming after you. You know, they're not going to launch the FBI on you because you took the little thing of soap. It's an insignificant item. But this item that you took from my master, hu nachesh yinachesh bo, he's going to come checking for it. You didn't take a nothing. You didn't take a bunch of paper clips. You took a valuable silver goblet that has tremendous value from our master's perspective. So are you stupid? You know? Like, what possessed you to make up with this? Next time, take the towels. You know? That he's not going to go looking. You took the silver cup? What were you thinking when you took the silver cup? That's the sense in which the Daksava Kabbalah understands the words of the Targum Onkelos over here. Vahu badaka mevadek bay. He's going to look. He's going to check and see that the item is missing. It was rather foolish on your part to have taken it. I wish everybody on this upcoming Shabbos of three kugels, three sefitar, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Hanukkah, we should be zochah to the oros, to the wonderful lights that are associated with all three of these wonderful talks. Wishing everyone a good Shabbos.